Find where I'm up to. Happy Christmas. Too early? Well, I've been in the Christmas mood since the 1st of November, because on that day, Channel 5 started to show their straight-to-TV Christmas movies. Have you ever watched them? Oh, they're that bad. They're amazing. The plots are weak. The actors, well, half of them are up-and-coming actors who should stay up-and-coming because they're useless. Or it's full of actors that you've not seen for TV for about 20-odd years. My favourite this year had Dean Cain from The New Adventures of Superman from the 1990s in it. He's put a lot of weight on. He has put a lot of weight on. And he was playing a lawyer who was representing Father Christmas to stop him from getting sued by a manufacturer of a sporting good company. It sounds as poor as it was, but it was. It was amazing. I've also been in my fair share of poor Christmas acting, nativity, carol services, that kind of thing. Every year I grew up in a youth group, and every year the parts would come out, and every year I was shepherd number two. My cousin was shepherd number one, and my little cousin was always a sheep. Even when he was 16, he was still a sheep. It just went on. I think I was typecast because the shepherds in our youth group were always the comedy roles. And my shepherd number one was always the serious one. And my cousin's very serious. And I was always the comic relief. There was one year, though, however, and it's based on the passage we're going to look at today, where there weren't any shepherds. And that was when we did Simeon the Musical. Yes, it's as bad as it sounds. I was in the chorus. In fact, my cousin, little cousin who was always the sheep, was actually Simeon. So he had his starring role there. It might seem an unusual one for Christmas, but it does. We're going to look in the book of Luke, and if you turn to Luke 2, and we'll start from chapter verse 25. If you look in the book of Luke, in the beginning of chapter 2, Jesus is born. And then we have the bit with the shepherds and the angels. And then we come to, in verse 21, where Jesus is presented in the temple. Basically, the firstborn child, the firstborn male child, would be presented or dedicated at the temple for God in Jerusalem. And in this passage, we see that Mary and Joseph would have been devout in fulfilling this. They would have travelled probably a week's journey, would have cost them a lot of money. They were quite poor to present Jesus. And in verse 25, we're introduced to Simeon, and I'll just read the passage there. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be the sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of the hearts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I know we've looked at this passage before. Nigel spoke on this passage at Nathaniel's dedication. And as we see, Jesus would have been about 6 weeks old at this point, and taken all the way to the temple, as we said. And we're introduced to Simeon in verse 25. And we see that he's a righteous and devout man. Doesn't say how old he is, but we can tell from the passage that he was older. As Nigel would say, a seasoned campaigner. And most of the books that I've read about it seem to think he was at least 80, if not in his hundreds. And we see, as we say, he was a devout and righteous man. And it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. And what stands out, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is before Pentecost, well before Pentecost, but in Luke so far, the Holy Spirit gets a big mention. And Luke's preparing us for when he later wrote in Acts about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit pouring out on God's people. But we don't just see that the Holy Spirit was upon him, but we also see that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him and revealed that he would not die before he'd seen the Messiah. It doesn't say whenabouts in his life. It could possibly have been like the week before, but from his response, it seems like he'd been waiting a long time. He'd been waiting many, many years probably for this promise that had been revealed to him to be fulfilled. So we see him and he's led by the Spirit to go into the temple. And when he's in the temple, he sees Jesus. For Luke's readers, this would have been an amazing thing that he recognized Jesus as being the Messiah. They were waiting for a great king. And he goes into the temple and he sees a young girl and a husband and a small baby, poor, but he knew that that was the Messiah. And he picks the baby up into his arms. If you can imagine, he'd been waiting his whole life for this moment. This is the pinnacle of his life. And he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, I can die now. This thing that I've been waiting for, I can die peacefully. It's a bit of a strange thing to say because it's a baby. But he trusts God and he trusts God so much that he knows this baby's going to grow up. This baby's going to survive everything and be the Messiah, the one he's been promised for. And he just says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for all your people, Israel." He recognizes something that all the other people wouldn't. He was a devout man. He would have been into the word. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He recognized that the Messiah wasn't just coming for Israel, but he was coming for all people, for the Gentiles. He was on the ball. He knew what other people wouldn't recognize there. Even Mary and Joseph marvel at what's being said about him. And then we see Simeon blessing Mary and the mother. And he doesn't mince his words. He doesn't say this is going to be a smooth ride. In fact, he says quite the opposite. And it just stands out. And I'll just read it. "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against." This baby's life isn't going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be very hard. "So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." It's the same today. Jesus divides. You're either for him or against him. Jesus is a divided time before Christ and after Christ. Jesus divides. And he was just on the ball. He knew what Jesus was about and what was going to happen. How do we apply this for our lives? Well, the main application is what Nigel did in his talk, and I'm not going to do that, is about Jesus himself. But what I want to look at is just Simeon, the man himself. He was, I keep saying, a seasoned campaigner. He had kept going to the very end. I've been a Christian most of my life, and over the years I can get disheartened where people I grew up with have all fallen away, not all of them. People I've seen become Christians and just be so on fire, and you get in contact with them and they've just completely different lifestyles, gone off the boil. Even where we're let down by other Christians, and that personally affects me, and I feel like, if these people are giving up, is it something I'm missing? And I just want to look in this passage of what stands out with Simeon, and it's what Tottenham's already said about the thing that just, he was a devout and righteous man. How did he stay righteous and devout his whole life? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It stands out. The Holy Spirit was upon him, but the Holy Spirit just wasn't upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed things to him. It had revealed to him that he had revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he see the Christ. But not only that, but he was led by the Spirit. Those three things, there's a whole sermon in it himself. And when the Holy Spirit works, he works in all those ways. But he could have had the Holy Spirit upon him and he could have had this revealed. But if he hadn't been led by the Spirit on that day, he wouldn't have seen the Messiah. He would have missed out. We don't say what it looks like in this passage, how he was led. It could have been a vision. It could have been someone saying, "You need to go to the temple today." It could have just been what we would see as a series of coincidences. But he ended up being there. And we just need to, as a born-again Christian, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And getting into God's word, reading God's word, and in other ways, God speaks to us and reveals stuff to us. But we just need to be make sure on a daily basis we're led. I'm normally really useless at that kind of thing, but I changed jobs back in September. And I've been in my previous job for 8 years, and every time it gets to about a year, I think, is it time to move on? I was quite happy in my job. One of my best friends works there. And I just prayed. I just like, Lord, if it's time to move on, that you'll show me. Within a couple of days, one of the nurses came in. I'm a dentist, if you didn't know, surgery, and said, oh, Laura, such a body's phoned. I went, who? She went, oh, she knows you from university. And this is going back over 10 years. I said, oh, I don't recognise the name, but why is she phoning the practice? So I phoned back, and she went, oh, hi, Steve. I believe you're looking for a job. So I was like, no. who told you that? She went, oh, Ed told me. Well, I know this, obviously, Ed, but he doesn't know me. So I was like, I'm not looking for a job. I said, oh, sorry for wasting your time. I was like, well, something, you've just prayed about it. I was like, well, tell me about this job. It sounds quite good, actually. Anyway, it turned out, and she sent me, I'm really sorry for wasting your time. And I said, it turned out it was just in a series of coincidences. She'd asked different people, and it was like Chinese whispers, and my name came out at the end. And these people didn't even know me. Then she looked me up online, got the number, and rang up. Well, I said, I'll come and have a look round. And a few weeks beforehand, I'd had a Monday off. And I said to Sarah, I said, wouldn't it be great if I just worked longer hours each day and had Monday off each week? That'd be a wonderful long weekend. So we'll go in. And she goes, oh, it's Mondays off every week. Kind of thing. So things start rolling in your head. And you think, there's something in this. I'd be stupid to turn it down. So I accepted it. And then, to be honest, I've been there a few weeks. And I was thinking, this isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. It's a lot harder. Have I done the right thing? And basically, there's been a dentist there for a year. And before that, there was a dentist for 35 years, his whole career. And I was talking about this other dentist. And I said, oh, the one who, because everyone knows this one for 35 years. I said, oh, can you tell me much about him? And the first thing they said, oh, he's a born-again Christian. He used to prepare his talks in the surgery between patients and that kind of thing. And it was just like, God is like, I've had a Christian in there for 35 years. I'm getting someone else in there. Yeah. How else in this passage, what else stands out about Simeon? Is he recognised Jesus for how he truly is? He knew Jesus, he knew God. The Spirit was upon him. He's obviously devout, he was into God's word. He knew the law and the prophets. He didn't have a Jesus that was made up. He knew, as Nigel's been saying, about knowing God. He knew. It's kind of people... And a lot of people I've known have become Christians. Like, well, my Jesus is like this. Yeah. And you're like, well, it's not the Jesus of the Bible, is it? And then they said, well, I was let down. And I was like, well, you let down because you were talking a load of rubbish, basically. It's kind of, you've got to be solid. You've got to have this solid foundation. You've got to know God. There was, I think I've said it in a talk before. There was one of these Hollywood celebrities on TV. And she was just going, I don't judge because Jesus doesn't judge. And you're like, well, you don't judge because Jesus is going to judge. He's God's appointed judge. So you clearly don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. It's just one of those things. Oh. This is what happens when you got a 2-year-old and you don't write notes. I think just what it just stood out. The main thing is he had a promise from God. And he just stayed faithful to it his whole life. It might be the whole, it might be, but he stayed faithful to God's promises. This word is full of promises for us. If you're ever thinking you're just going off on one, just get in there, read the promises over yourself. Just read them and you'll see. And I just, whilst I was preparing this, I just kept getting the word, and it was more for the church. It was confidence. And it's, confidence is another definition, is complete trust. And I was just thinking, there's a lot of things being said over the church, good things. And we feel like we're about to come into that. And we just want to know where our confidence is. Because we can look around and say, we've had a funny year, haven't we? Who's not in the church anymore? Who's there? Is our confidence in the people who are in the church? No, our confidence can be knocked. Is our confidence in Nigel Melita? No. Our confidence shouldn't be in Russ and Bibi. Our confidence should be in Jesus, in Christ alone. And it's just for the coming time and the coming year. We've got these promises. And we just need to have true confidence in Jesus and God's word, rather than each other. And that'll come. But we need to be focused. Because if we're focused on other things, then it won't happen. Is that okay? Yeah. Cheers.